Subscribe to the Nightlife Podcast, now featuring the whole first hour every day, with interesting discussions, panels and topics, as well as the shorter weekly food and travel. abc.net.au/nightlife.
Have you ever thought about what drives your attraction to other people? Is it facial symmetry, height, weight, or less physical things like humour, honesty or intelligence? And is that attraction driven solely by your biology, or is it social conditioning? Well, my expert guest tonight thinks that the way we choose our significant others is based on a trade-off between three criteria. That's right, three criteria. So you want to know more what they are? Well, we'll find out. Joining us tonight is Dr. Raquel Peel, a psychology lecturer and researcher from the University of Southern Queensland. Raquel, welcome to Nightlife.
Oh, thank you very much and good evening.
Raquel, you write about the US reality show Sexy Beast. Can you tell us what the premise of the show is? How does it work?
I can. So the original premise of Sexy Beast is to get rid of superficial dating by eliminating physical attraction from the equation.
Does that mean you don't get to see them physically at all?
Look, you would think so, but upon reviewing the show, you'll realise that, yes, they cover the contestants' faces with heavy makeup and prosthetics, but you can still see their bodies, you can still see their figures, their skin tone, their shape.
Right, so there's a lot about their physicality that you can still go on.
Absolutely.
So what do you think the show is trying to say about attraction, Raquel?
Well, it is trying to eliminate that, so people are being judged based on personality alone. But I am actually not convinced that this is being done right.
Because you would prefer their entire physical appearance to be blocked out?
Well, if that's what the show is proposing to do, we would have to be completely blind. So being able to, for example, judge female bodies based on the waist to hip ratio or breast size, it's still a possibility in that show.
Okay. So you don't really think that they can achieve what they're setting out to do, but why would they try and cut out physical attraction from the equation?
Well, we know physical attraction is an important component and most often is the first component to attraction. So evolutionary psychology tells us that there are certain sections in our brains that are activated when we see a visual stimuli that we find attractive. So it is an important part of flirting and choosing a potential romantic partner. But as you said so yourself, it's not all. We do have other attributes that we look for.
All right. Well, let's get to those. So it's not all the physical necessarily. So what do people look for then when they're looking to choose a mate?
Yeah, so research has shown that we also look for what we call kindness and wealth. So kindness is looking for a partner that you might find trustworthy, reliable, warm, someone that you can seek support and understanding from. And of course, wealth is looking for someone who can provide, someone who is successful in their career, who has an income.
All right. Well, it seems pretty traditional, doesn't it? I mean, that they're the sort of things I think that most of us wouldn't argue with that we throw into the mix. In terms of the assumptions that men and women make and find attractive, how different is it for what a man is attracted to compared to a woman?
So if we're looking at evolutionary psychology or, you know, biological theories, we are looking for those different parts of the body that would call our attention. So for female bodies, again, it's the waist to hip ratio and breast size. For males, it might be the waist to chest ratio. But then for both genders and for all genders, it would be also the skin tone. So your preferences there. That's from a evolutionary point of view, though.
And has it changed much in recent years?
No, not really, because in the end of the day, if we are going based on that theory, we are looking for partners that would help us in our quest for sex, reproduction, and survival of the species.
And in terms of, you know, that whole concept, men are from Mars and women are from Venus, that whole notion's been pretty much disproved, hasn't it? I mean, we are a lot more similar than that.
Absolutely. And look, I think the key message here is that context matters and also relationship goals. So if you are someone who is looking to for a date for one night, then I suppose physical attraction should be what you're looking for. It's a fling. It's a one-night stand. But if you are looking for someone to raise a family with and for a long-term relationship, then you should be considering whether you are going to have support in that person, whether that person is going to be able to help provide for your future family.
And in the article that you wrote about this area, Raquel, did you just look at binary men and women, or did you look wider than that?
So my area of research is social psychology. So I come from a social standpoint, looking at those three aspects that we might be trading off. So if you are looking at that research, it is across genders and it is across sexual preferences. It does look at people with different preferences, really, and experiences.
So does it vary greatly if you step out of that binary context?
Not that we can tell, no. I guess the one thing that you do see, again, across genders and across experiences, is that trade-off is important, because not meeting expectations or falling short of those expectations can cause someone to deliberately sabotage their relationship. So if you're not happy with what you're getting, inevitably you're not going to be able to maintain a successful long-term relationship. So that's what's important. Whatever it is that is important to you is what you should be pursuing.
Right. So even though you said earlier that people largely are looking for obviously a little bit of the physical attraction, but, you know, wealth and kindness. So if you're attracted to someone mainly because of their wealth and you don't look at the physical or the kindness, but if that's what you want, will that be enough for you to sustain a successful relationship?
Well, in the article, I talk about something that I consider to be very important, which is insight. So really having insight into the choice that you have made. So if you have made that choice deliberately and you understand that it is a trade-off, then yes, if you've got personal, you know, responsibility for that choice that you have made, I believe you can be successful in your quest.
That's interesting. So if you only wanted to focus on physical attraction, you could make that work.
It's all about making choices and being responsible for the choices that you make, for the motivations that you have for your relationship. And in the end of the day, I strongly believe that that's what drives us. If we are happy with what we are doing and looking for, it's the missing element that we often don't talk about, isn't it?
Yeah. So if you come across a relationship that's not working, and there may have been one of these attributes that was selected by one of the partner at the beginning of the relationship, but now they're finding as they're aging, the physical part of their relationship isn't so important. Is there still a way to make that work based on, you know, what your original decision was, or do you need to then change and make the kindness, for instance, or the wealth support become more critical to the relationship?
What you were describing there is a very interesting phenomenon. We call it the flip-flop effect.
Flip-flop, so, right.
Yeah. So at the beginning of a relationship, you might think physical attraction is everything. I want someone pretty. I want someone that looks exactly like, you know, X. And, you know, as the years go by and you're raising a family, you might find actually having support in my partner is more important. So you might look back and flip your motivations, flip your priorities. It's all about, you know, having that conversation with your partner, collaborating towards that end goal. So, yeah, if your priorities have changed, you will have to think about it, and you have to think about how you progress forward with that relationship.
And do you think society is changing in terms of the combinations that it finds acceptable? For instance, we have got used to over the years an older man being with a younger woman. We're not seeing as many instances of an older woman with a younger man. Do you see that will change over time?
I'm not sure that it will per se. I think it just depends on people's priorities and needs and goals and what they're looking for in that partnership. So if you are looking for someone who's young because that shows vitality, and vitality is the element that is important to you, then it makes sense. So it goes back to the motivation behind that partnership being formed.
And you said that it's different depending on when you go into a situation that's going to be a one-night stand compared to a relationship. Now, often a one-night stand, you don't know where it will go. If you've gone into a one-night stand, how likely is it then to go and develop into a more stable long-term relationship? Or do you need to go into any relationship from if you want something more long-term, right from the beginning, you need to focus on the long-term aspect of it?
No, absolutely not. That's not what I'm saying. So you can have a one-night stand that will progress to become a long-term relationship, and it might even be someone that you end up marrying and having a family with. I guess what we might need to be aware of is that we do change expectations and we do change our priorities in life as we shift our social aspects. So in the context of a bar and a one-night stand type of date, you might have different expectations. And this is what I highlight in the article in terms of what the contestants are going through in the context of being in a competition. Their motivations for winning is really what is key. It's not about love, it's about winning. So I think their motivations are displaced in that context.
And how much though with social media and the modern way of dating and hooking up with people and marrying people, we have made it a bit of a competition, a bit of a game, haven't we, through social media, much more than it used to be. I mean, isn't it seen in some quarters as that, as a game of winning?
I do agree with you, and you do see that in social media. You see photos being posted, to show different landmarks and achievements in the relationship. And again, if that's the motivation for being with someone, I'm not sure that that's a recipe for a long-term commitment that will lead to a successful, raising of a family, of being together for a long term.
And I guess it's still too early, isn't it, Raquel, to see what long-term success these styles of relationships are able to build up, because we've only just going through the social media era at the moment. So, maybe if both parties do think that the way, your Instagram pic looks is the important basis of a relationship, if you both agree, maybe that could be, maybe not everyone's style of a relationship, but it could work for that couple.
I agree. I completely agree with you. If the two parties are happy and that's what motivates them to be together, why not?
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, isn't it, to see the next decade or 2 decades about the different styles of relationships that'll be out there.
Yeah, and it's important to realize that there isn't just the one style that works. It's again all a trade-off.
Okay, Raquel, thank you so much for joining us on Nightlife.
Thank you.
Dr. Raquel Peel from the University of Southern Queensland, taking us through what drives attraction between humans.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.